Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. The fire that took place at Reed Manor late Thursday night into early Friday morning left dozens of families displaced, sent multiple people to the hospital, and tragically resulted in the death of 61-year-old Sherry Lauer. Since the fire, a combination of community organizations, leaders, and residents have stepped up to give support. Over the weekend, the Reed Manor Community Center, First Presbyterian Church, and more accepted donations. Donations are still being accepted this week by United Way of South Central Michigan. Items can be dropped off at 536 North Jackson Street each day through Thursday from noon until 4, and on Friday from 9 until noon. Items needed include hygiene products, paper products, moving supplies, cleaning supplies, household basics, first aid supplies, and pet supplies. They are not able to accept donations of food, clothing, or furniture. For a full list of requested donation items, as well as a link to provide financial support to the impacted, visit united4scmi.org. Due to a court battle, the Rives Township office will have limited operations through the end of the month. In a statement, Rives Township officials certified that the township is not being sued. This update is due to a court-related order requiring the township to compile and provide more than 20 years of sewer assessment data. These records relate to a current legal matter in which historical sewer assessment and tax information has been called into question. Due to the scope of this request and the age of the records involved, township staff will dedicate significant time to locating, reviewing, and preparing these materials in order to comply with the order. Rives Township has made the decision to limit public office hours temporarily so staff can complete this work. The Rives Township office building will be closed to the public on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. The office will be open to the public on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. to meet required election duties. Michigan House of Representatives have seen legislation that would update the state's energy laws. State Representative Kathy Schmaltz explained why she's co-sponsoring the legislation.
So it restructures utility planning, evaluating how the grid performs, demand during extreme conditions and other situations, cutting red tape, expediting approval of projects like tree trimming, for example, or replacing outdated equipment, updating technology. You need to quickly fix what needs to be fixed so the power stays on. It was taking too long to get the go-ahead on these projects. And finally, we want more transparency from our utility companies and the Michigan Public Service Commission. The cost of upgrades, storage, and so forth, there shouldn't be any surprises for people. So the new energy plan really focuses on transparency and cutting taxes. This goes along with our property tax cut plan to save families up to $1,400 a year. So that's what it's all about.
Representative Schmaltz's committee will have a hearing on potential laws that would regulate youth transportation companies that would prohibit possibly traumatizing actions such as blindfolding and middle-of-the-night operations.
So Rep. Cavett of North introduced a bill that says safety protections on these youth transportation companies. So it prohibits the use of blindfolds and hoods, bans mechanical restraints like handcuffs and chains, and it limits physical restraints except for emergency situations where somebody's going to be harmed. And it prevents nighttime pickups between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m.
Kathy also worked on introducing some legislation that would help the state National Guard have an easier time getting their well-earned paychecks.
So right now, when the National Guard has their training or drills, they get paid electronically or if the federal government calls them to action. But when the state activates the National Guard, let's say for the ice storm up north, the first check issued is a paper check. And that has caused problems for our National Guard members. They don't get their check. They're not at home addresses. The check is lost. It's been a problem. My bill changes this so all payments to the National Guard from now on will be direct deposit or electronic transfer. The National Guard Association of Michigan has been asking for this for a while now, so I will be testifying on that bill in my committee.
More from State Representative Kathy Schmaltz can be heard on the March 13th episode of the AM Jackson podcast. podcast. WKHM.com has a link. There's been an update to the next meeting location for the Hillsdale County Board of Commissioners, who had to abruptly adjourn their last meeting. WKHM's Luke Moorhead with the story.
The Hillsdale County Board of Commissioners will hold its next meeting in council chambers at Hillsdale City Hall. Citizens turned out last week to voice their oppositions to the commissioners backing a bond for a new facility for Lifeways without a vote of the people. The boardroom at the Hillsdale County office building was well over capacity, prompting concerns about fire code violations. After an exchange between citizens and board chair Mark Wiley, the meeting was adjourned. While the previous meeting will not be made up, officials announced on Thursday that the next regularly scheduled meeting on March 24th will be held at 9 a.m. on the third floor of Hillsdale City Hall. The venue is also already set up for live streaming meetings on YouTube, which the county board regularly does.
Reporting with WKHM, I'm Luke Moorhead.
New details on the attack at Temple Israel and the former police lieutenant who helped make sure 140 people made it out alive. Danny Phillips is the director of security at the West Bloomfield Synagogue. He was injured in the Thursday attack when authorities say 41-year-old Aman Ghazali crashed an explosive-laden pickup truck into the building before taking over security at the temple. Phillips served as a lieutenant with the Bloomfield Hills Police Department. Meanwhile, 63 responding law enforcement officers are continuing to recover after suffering smoke inhalation at the scene. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel is urging the public to report anything suspicious following the attack at Temple Israel. According to Nessel, almost 60% of domestic terrorists exhibit concerning behavior at least a year before. Proposed legislation would strengthen Michigan's anti-terrorism law. Those who threaten to commit an act of terrorism could face up to 20 years in prison and or a fine of up to $20,000. It's a week dedicated to keep children safe.
It's National Poison Prevention Week, which the Michigan Poison and Drug Information Center says is a great time to make sure all medications, cleaning products, and pesticides are stored safely and out of reach of children. Keeping edibles and other marijuana products away from children is another emphasis this week. Wayne State University says there are other meanings to National Poison Prevention Week, like working to prevent nitrous oxide misuse, popularly known as whippets, and raising awareness about kratom, otherwise known as gas station heroin. National Poison Prevention Week was established by Congress in 1961. Luke Sloan for the Michigan News Network.
Michigan drivers are finding more pressure on their wallets this morning as gas prices continue their steady climb across the state. Right here in Jackson, the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded has hit $3.59. That's a slight drop from last week's average of $3.62, but a steep jump from this time last year when we were paying $3.06. Looking at the statewide average, Michigan motorists are now shelling out $3.60 a gallon. That's up 5 cents from last week's average of $3.55, a significant 56-cent increase compared to the $3.04 we saw a year ago. If you're traveling, lowest prices in the state currently found in Traverse City. They're averaging $3.49. However, if you're heading toward Ann Arbor or Metro Detroit, be prepared to pay the state's highest prices, which are currently tied at $3.64 a gallon. Experts say while the rapid pace of these hikes has slowed in the last few days, rising crude costs are keeping prices near their highest levels of the year. The cost of changing EV strategies has now hit $70 billion.
$21 billion at Ford, $26 billion at Stellantis, now almost $16 billion at Honda, plus several others, and the numbers crunched by Automotive News keep adding up. This reflects models canceled, changes in production plans, updates to supplier contracts. Now, it includes some oddities, like the Chevy Bolt coming back for just 1 year, and big changes with a highly touted Ford F-150 Lightning. Carmakers still feel putting these costs out now will allow them to post higher profits on their new production plans. Jeff Gilbert for the Michigan News Network.
Call it an electric vehicle hangover.
EV registrations peaked as people rushed to buy before federal incentives expired. After that, they fell off a cliff. Things are still way down, 41% below January of last year. The numbers from S&P Global Mobility, which says things haven't normalized yet. There have been indications, however, that high gas prices have sent more consumers online to research EVs. Jeff Gilbert for the Michigan News Network.
EVs made up about 5% of registrations in January. Hybrids, about 15%. Pure gasoline-powered vehicles accounted for three-quarters of all registrations. 96% of parents rate their child's driving as average or better compared with peers.
Despite witnessing things like texting or multitasking or speeding and tailgating behind the wheel, only one in four parents say they've taken steps to address these behaviors. The findings in the latest poll from the University of Michigan Health, C.S. Mott Children's Hospital, and co-director Dr. Sarah Clark.
Maybe parents lose credibility when they're telling their teen or young adult child, hey, don't do that, but then the parents are doing it themselves. It makes it a tricky conversation.
Dr. Clark said that often parents do not connect risky driving behaviors to being a good driver. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
A recent J.P. Morgan survey found manufacturing is near a 44-month high. The surge was driven by an expansion of new orders, which Grand Valley State University researcher Brian Long said they're seeing in West Michigan.
In general, the survey results for the entire industrial economy of the world has turned modestly positive in February. Both the National Purchasing Manager surveys are positive, and all of this despite several unresolved wars still filling the daily news.
Long says despite the turmoil, the West Michigan short-term business outlook picked up and is noticeably higher. Low-wage jobs may be on the way out. New business survey from Grand Valley State University found that it's getting harder to hire workers close to minimum wage, and businesses are coming up empty-handed unless they are willing to adjust.
To stay in business, they may have to pay more and raise their prices if they can, which is what we have been seeing lately at a lot of restaurants.
Again, that's researcher Brian Long. He said that lower income people may be living paycheck to paycheck, but they're faced with higher prices and bills, meaning they can't afford to take lower wages. What impact is AI having on the job application process? New study says it's actually showing slowing things down, not speeding them up.
Local Robert Half employment trends expert Shannon Edlinger says the overuse of AI on resumes is actually dragging out the hiring process, with some reporting delays of 2 weeks or more.
So we're seeing AI negatively affecting the job seeker and the employer market, and it's really, really just muddying the waters for all.
But Edlinger says that doesn't mean you shouldn't use AI in your resume. If you're applying for a job, just make sure you're using it properly.
I'm Greg Bowman for the Michigan News Network.
New report from Michigan State University finds some anti-counterfeiting warnings may actually backfire.
Researchers with the university's Center for Anti-Counterfeiting and Product Protection reviewed more than 90 campaigns and found many rely heavily on fear-based messages. The study says those tactics can trigger what's known as psychological reactants, where consumers feel their freedom to choose is being threatened and they ignore the warning. The global counterfeit market is estimated at nearly $467 billion. Researchers say campaigns may work better if they focus less on fear and more on constructive messaging. I'm Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
There's no rebuttal. The debate team at the University of Michigan is celebrating another title.
U of M won the 39th annual American Debate Association National Championship for a second straight year. That makes Michigan the first school to win back-to-back ADA championships since Vanderbilt University in 2011. In the final round, Michigan students Eleanor Barrett and Cyrus Esmailzadeh defeated a team from Georgetown University in a unanimous 3-0 decision. Nearly 200 competitors from 30 schools took part in the tournament that was held this year at Emory University. Chris Villar, Michigan News Network.
University of Michigan announces a prominent alumnus as a graduation speaker.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN chief medical correspondent, has been announced as this spring's commencement speaker for the University of Michigan Medical School. According to the school, Gupta will deliver his address on May 15th at Hill Auditorium. Gupta earned his medical degree from U of M in 1993 before completing his residency within Michigan medicine in 2000. Luke Sloan for the Michigan News Network.
Big win for a Michigan filmmaker at this year's Oscars. Director of photography Sam A. Davis is from Potterville, just southwest of Lansing. He's taking home Best Live Action Short Film for The Singers, but he's not the only one.
So it won alongside another film, and that is an incredibly unusual occurrence. I think Sam actually, at the beginning of the speech, was like, I didn't know this was a thing that could happen, but it's great. Kind of joked in all of it. So definitely has directly become a part of Oscar history in the pantheon of how rarely that actually happens.
That's Dr. Monica Sandler, a film and media historian at Ball State University. Her book, The Oscar Industry, examines the socioeconomic history of the Academy Awards and the development of the movie awards season. This program helps ensure everyone stays safe on the roads during St. Patrick's Day.
Friendly reminder, AAA will activate that Tow2Go program beginning on Monday evening at 6 p.m., extending all the way through Wednesday morning at 6 a.m., all part of that St. Patrick's Day celebration. Again, that is a free ride for the vehicle and impaired driver within a 10-mile radius. There should be a last alternative to get to that destination. The number to call, 1-855-2-TOW-2-GO.
That is Jim Hughes reporting. It's Monday, and it's the 16th day of March, and today we celebrate Black Press Day. It's Everything We Do Is Right Day. It's Freedom of Information Day, Lips Appreciation Day, and National Panda Day. It was on this date in 1802, the U.S. Military Academy was established at West Point. It was on this date in 1991. A plane crash outside San Diego killed 8 members of Reba's band and crew. It was on this date in 1994, Tanya Harding pleaded guilty to a felony charge associated with the attack on Nancy Kerrigan. It was on this date in 2000. Thomas Wilson Ferriebee, the Enola Gay bombardier who dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, he passed away at the age of 81. It was on this date in 2012. George Clooney and Martin Luther King III were arrested outside of the Sundanese embassy for civil disobedience. It was on this date in 2016. President Barack Obama nominated Merrick Garland for the U.S. Supreme Court. It was on this date in 2019. A beached dead whale in the Philippines was found to have 88 pounds of plastic inside, including 40 pounds of plastic bags. It was on this date in 2020. Global infections and deaths from COVID-19 overtook people in China for the first time, according to Johns Hopkins University. On this date in 2021, declassified U.S. intelligence reports said Russian President Vladimir Putin authorized efforts to aid re-election of Donald Trump. It was on this date in 2022. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky addressed U.S. Congress remotely, pleading for further aid against the Russian invasion. Birthdays today include Isabel Allen, 24, actress from Les Miserables. Terrell Jackson Williams is 29, actor from Lab Rats. Sierra McLean from 9-1-1, 32 today. Diego Calva from Babylon, he's 34 today. Alan Tudyk is 55, actor from Firefly, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, Resident Alien.
Got this place cleaned up pretty good. Cleaned yourself up pretty good, too.
You think so?
Yeah. I think it gives you character.
Maybe one day you'll give me a name.
Well, Four is a name.
So is Gary.
There he is as Robot Four, a.k.a. Gary, in the latest Superman movie. Lauren Graham has a birthday today from the Gilmore Girls and Parenthood, 59. Isabel Huppert, 73, actress, the piano teacher, L. Kate Nelligan, 76, actress from The Prince of Tides.
Eric Estrada from Chips. He's 77 today. James Madison would have had a birthday today, our fourth president. He passed away in 1836. Jerry Lewis, comedian, actor, humanitarian, he would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2017. Other birthdays today include Wolfgang Van Halen. That's Eddie Van Halen's kid. He's 35 today. Danny Brown, rapper, he's 45 today. Patty Griffin, folk singer, is 62. Flava Flav, he's 67 today from Public Enemy. Nancy Wilson has a birthday today. Guitarist, vocalist with heart, she's 72. Ann Wilson on vocals for Heart, founding member of Heart. It was Nancy Wilson who was on the guitar there for Heart. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly. Might still get by. Every time I think about it, I want to cry. With bombs and the devil, and the kids keep coming. No way to breathe easy, no time to be young. Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
And we make our way to your sports at 6:39, 21 minutes in front of 7. Sports this time around, brought to you by Kettlebell Hotspot. So if you're listening to this right now, it's possible, it's very well possible that Monday, Wednesday, Friday class at 6 a.m. could fit into your schedule. They have classes at 6 and at 8. Kettlebell Hotspot, it's where your functional fitness begins, improving your strength, balance, and mobility. So wherever you are in your physical fitness journey, they have a spot for you. Kettlebell Hotspot, 7851 Spring Arbor Road, on Facebook and online, kettlebellhotspot.com. So we're going to go back to Saturday morning. I know a lot of times it's a little bit farther back than we like to go here, but we're going to do it anyway because it was a big deal. It was a deal of epic proportions. Congratulations, Concord, on being the Division IV state champs in basketball. For the first time in school history, the Yellow Jackets pulled away in the fourth quarter to beat Detroit Douglas 60-47 Saturday in the Division IV boys basketball final at the Brez in East Lansing. Now, the game was tied after three quarters, but Concord dominated the final period, outscoring Douglas 19-6. The Yellow Jackets locked things down defensively, holding the Hurricanes to just two field goals in the fourth while shooting 60% themselves and committing no turnovers. A switch to a 3-2 zone defense helped slow Douglas's driving attack and sparked the late run. You know, we've got some highlights for you. Let's go back to the first quarter. Connor Stevens, who led the Yellow Jackets with 15 points and 9 rebounds on the day. Connor Stevens drains a three early in the contest to put the Yellow Jackets up 3-5.
So far, Concord's done a great job keeping Douglas off the offensive glass, and so it's one shot and done. Make it or miss it, but it's done after one. Stevens screens and pops, triple, got it. Connor Stevens with the three, and Concord back in front, 7-5, 4:28 to go, first quarter.
Let's jump ahead to the second quarter. Douglas's Torian Wright Jr. gets an and one at 17-11, Yellow Jackets.
Good catch and rhythm shot release for Gill Jr., 17-9, Yellow Jackets. They missed, picking up a transition and a drive and a bucket there for Wright Jr., and that's going to be a foul on Concord. Missed picking up their guy in transition, and he took it all the way to the glass.
Yeah, you know, Gill Jr. drains that three and kind of did a little celebrating.
And there goes this guy.
Concord's Darrell Dean Jr. gets a bucket, ties the game at 31. This is in the third quarter.
Yeah, Oliver coming way down to get Garrett in the backcourt. He'll give it up to Stevens. Hands off to Dean Jr. out at the top. Dean Jr. off the drive. Gets in, elevates off the window, and scores it. Good look for Dean Jr. 31-31 tie.
Dean Jr. also had 15 points in the contest for the Yellow Jackets. In the third quarter, Concord's Jet Smith gets a three, puts the Yellow Jackets up 39-36.
Jet Smith, who catches the handoff, steps back. Dean Jr. in there. They walked away from Jet Smith at the three-point line, and he nails a triple. They just kind of left him when he picked up his dribble. 39-36, Yellow Jackets.
Jet Smith, 14 points on the night, even though he had foul trouble through much of the contest. And now we go to the fourth quarter. Connor Stevens gets a basket, makes it 47-43.
If Poe knocks away, gives Stevens a dribble back. Gets a step on him to the baseline in the air. Off the window, Connor Stevens with the bucket. 47-43 Concord. Stevens took some time there, but he got the right thing done at the end.
Brady Garrett helped run the offense, and he picked up 6 points, 5 assists on the night. Here's the final call with Captain and the Professor.
Concord state champions, first time in school history. The purple and gold on their feet here at the Breslin Center with a state championship now, a trophy to take home for Connor Stevens, Jet Smith, and the whole squad.
So that championship caps Concord's first trip to the Final Four since 1986 and delivers the program its first ever state title. Division IV basketball champions, the Concord Yellow Jackets. Congrats. I think Concord, Chris, is still doing cartwheels. Division III, it was Pawama Westphalia getting by the Arts and Tech Academy of Pontiac, 61-57 for the Division III state championship. Freeland topped Hudsonville Unity Christian 42-32 to win the D2 state championship, and Rockford over East Lansing 54-50 for the Division I state championship. Now, the girls, they are in action this week. Division I quarterfinal, that is set for tomorrow. Muskegon versus Grand Haven at Hudsonville, and Utica Eisenhower versus Frazier at University of Detroit Mercy. Elsewhere in Division I, it's DeWitt versus Belleville at Mason and Dearborn versus Detroit Renaissance at U of D. All of that happening on the 17th. That's Division I. Division II girls basketball has Petoskey versus Flint Powers Catholic. That's at Gaylord High School tomorrow. Tecumseh versus Carleton Airport at Chelsea tomorrow. Elsewhere in Division II, Detroit Country Day versus Goodrich. That's going to be in Port Huron. And Grand Rapids West Catholic versus Grand Rapids South Christian. That's at Unity Christian High School in Hudsonville. Division III, that was D2. Division III will have Cass City versus Pawama Westphalia at Millington. Roscommon versus Morley Stanwood at Houghton Lake. Elsewhere in Division III, Lumen tomorrow will be at Plymouth Christian Academy. That's going to be at Ipsy Lincoln. Winner there will face either Hart or Niles Brandywine. They're playing at Robert Queering Gymnasium in Kalamazoo. Winner from those two contests will face each other in the semifinal six for Division III at MSU on Thursday. So that's Division III. And on to Division IV in girls basketball. Ishpeming versus Indian River Inland Lakes. That's at Gladstone tomorrow. Morenci versus Kingston at West Bloomfield High tomorrow. So winner of those two contests will face off in the semifinal for Division IV. The other Division IV pairings has Portland St. Patrick versus Concord at Mason on tomorrow at 5:30. And Frankfort versus Onekama, that's going to be at 7 o'clock at Cadillac High School. So winners of those two contests will face each other in the Division IV semifinal at the Brez on the 19th at 7:30. So that's high school basketball. Third-ranked Michigan came up short in the Big Ten Tournament Championship Sunday, falling to 18th-ranked Purdue 80-72 at the United Center in Chicago. Game was tied 38 the half, but Purdue took control early in the second half. Boilermakers had 11 of their first 13 shots after the break, stretching the lead to double digits, forcing Michigan to play catch-up the rest of the way. Lyndon Borg led the Wolverines with 20 points, including 4 3-pointers, grabbed 5 boards. Ade Mora added 14 points, 7 boards. Namari Burnett chipped in with 12. Elliot Cadeau recorded a double-double, 10 points, 10 assists. Michigan finished the Big Ten tournament at 31-3, now turns its attention to the NCAA tournament. Top-seeded Wolverines going to open up on Thursday in Buffalo, against winners of a first four matchup. You know, let's go ahead and cover Michigan, Michigan State, and some of the others in the Big Ten with March Madness officially set. Several Big Ten teams. We've got 9 Big Ten teams in the big dance. Michigan Wolverines men's basketball earned the number one seed. They're going to open the tournament Thursday in Buffalo. Michigan will face the winner of the first four matchup between UMBC Retrievers men's basketball and the Howard Bison men's basketball. Tip time expected to be announced. I believe we have that tip time. I'll have to get back with you. I will get back with you on that tip time, but we will have it. That's going to be, again, on Thursday. Michigan State Spartans, they are the number 3 seed, and they will open Thursday against North Dakota State. Tip time scheduled for 4:05, so that's going to be a 3 o'clock broadcast down the hall to the left on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Big Ten is well represented again this year. Illinois Fighting Illini, they're a number 3 seed. They play Penn Thursday. Wisconsin Badgers, they're a number 5 seed. Purdue Boilermakers are also in the field, winning the Big Ten Tournament Championship. First round games run Thursday and Friday. Winners advance the round of 32 on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. As it's here, I mean, let's be honest. You're going to spend some time today going over brackets at work. You are. Just admit it. It's going to be a thing. It's going to happen. From the NBA yesterday, the Detroit Basketball Pistons, they lost to the Raptors. Raptors were just simply on fire yesterday. 119-108 loss on the road. They continue the road trip tomorrow against the Wizards. Last night, or yesterday, it was Cade Cunningham. He ties it at 13 pretty early in the contest.
Long outlet pass. Cade's ahead of the pack here, and he got fouled and scored. Walter with the foul, and the Pistons can take the lead. We're all even at 13.
Let's just jump ahead to some vintage Cade late in the game. Pistons still trailing 102-92.
Cade inching his way down the paint, goes up and dumps it in. That is vintage Cade Cunningham. Never in a hurry. 102-92. We're about halfway through the fourth.
And again, Pistons would end up falling to that one to the Raptors. On Detroit Tigers baseball, they got a win over the Stankies yesterday. It was a 12-1. Spring training series win over the Stankies yesterday. And Torkelson, we're going to give you a couple here. Torkelson got a 3-run dinger.
Torkelson puts a charge into one into deep left field. Randall Grichuk going back. That ball's gone. Boy, and there is quite a Tiger contingent here today as Spencer Torkelson connects on a 3-run home run in the first inning to put the Tigers on top 3-0.
In the first, Baez would get an RBI double. That puts the Tigers up 4-0. Vierling, a 2-run dinger in the second, puts the Tigers up 6-0. Baez had a double play. This was in the second. Unassisted double play in the second.
Jet Smith, who catches the handoff.
Wait, hold. Jet Smith was not playing for the Tigers this weekend.
The soft ground ball towards second. Glove by Baez. Tags the runner for one on to first. And that is an inning-ending double play.
Javi.
Green got a dinger in the third. Puts the Tigers up 7-0. And then in the eighth, Anderson gets the dinger of all dingers.
This one cracked deep right field, and that is gone, a grand slam. How about that for your first big league spring training at bat?
Dingler would get an RBI single. That puts the Tigers up at 12-0, and then the Stankies get a charity run in the ninth. 12-1 for the final there. Tigers win. Sports this time around brought to you by Kettlebell High.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 7:34 and a half, and we make our way to our newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program State Senator Sue Schenck. Senator, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning.
So let's start with the horrific fire at Reed Manor. Boy, I really don't like starting on such, because I love keeping it always positive and upbeat, but this is important for our listeners, and I know that you've had some reaction and response to the fire at Reed Manor last week. What can you tell our listeners about that?
Well, first of all, it's horrific, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and my heart goes out to everybody who's affected, and my understanding is that even the people who's belongings haven't burned, they're not allowed to get them at this point. So hopefully that changes soon, but obviously the building's condemned and we've got to keep people safe. But I've been, so far my role has been really to check in with the mayor, check in with people who are giving assistance and see that that's flowing. And then going back, I started to try to find out what we can do from the state level. I don't have any good answers yet. I don't have any solid answers. But what I can say is that I'll keep trying and see whether we can't shake loose some emergency funding and assistance mm-hmm. for the people who live there. Because we've talked a bit about the housing crisis. It's worse for the people with the least amount of money. And to rehome 70 people is a lot for a small town or even a big city, really. And so I'm going to do my best to see what state resources we can bring to bear. Today I'll be going and trying to ascertain what other like immediate needs there are, and literally we'll just go to the store and buy stuff if there's stuff that's imminent. But the community has stepped up in a huge way. It's really beautiful. And so I know that a lot of people have been donating, and that's amazing. So there's a Facebook page that the city has put up where people can get assistance, and also people could check in to see if donations are still needed. At 7:30 in the morning on Monday, I'm not really sure, but I'll be checking it out today and then following up from there.
Well, I do know organization I used to work for, United Way, well, it's now United Way of South Central Michigan, was United Way of Jackson County at one point. They are taking donations today through Friday, and you can check their Facebook page for times that they're taking donations. They've got a list up there, too, of items that they're accepting for those in need for following the Reed Manor disaster last week. So there is an opportunity there through United Way here in Jackson.
Yes, and then of course Red Cross has been on the scene too.
Sure.
It's always good to support the Red Cross because they show up when people need them.
What I love about the Red Cross, and I can only speak to this from a fire, for a residential fire, because years ago I experienced this. When they show up, they will they'll give the kids who have lost everything, they'll give the kids a teddy bear after a fire, just a little something to give them to hang on to since they've lost all of everything else. So yeah, Red Cross does a fabulous job in fire response and providing temporary places to stay and the emergency medical needs. Than individuals have afterwards. So, yeah, the Red Cross for sure does a fabulous job following a fire as well. So, Senator Sue Schenck, you also, I had a chance to meet Nancy this past week at the Soups on for Seniors event.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
She was going to that. I had another thing I had to go to. And between the two of us and some of my other staff members, we try to get to as many events as we can during the week, because, you know, my district spans, it's over 18 townships and like 20 school districts.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's always something going on. So it is a lot of fun to get out, and we wanted to support that event, and so we sent Nancy.
Yeah, and I think she was also
kind of jealous.
I think she was also at the State of the Community event too last week. So yeah, that's another thing, because senators, representatives, you know, those who represent us in Lansing, they have staff who really do a great load of the work as well. I know you get credit for all the stuff on the floor, but you have staff that really help throughout the community.
Well, yes, and you know, I represent 275,000 people. And like I said, it's quite a few just separate communities. I mean, we're all one community, but at the same time, you know, Dexter has its own city government. Jackson has its own. Brooklyn, Spring Arbor, and then all the townships. Grass Lake is pretty active. So it's impossible to be every place all at once. And so we try to get somebody out to as much stuff as we can. And then there's all the paperwork. I have a constituent services director, Sydney, who's coming with me today to Jackson, and she's going to help me address the Reed Manor needs as much as we can, and look for because I work for the state, look for long-term solutions.
Right.
Couldn't do it without all the staff. Yeah. And we're bringing on a new person today, so that's exciting.
Oh, nice. Onboarding is always fun. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Lansing, and let's start off with the bills that were passed to reduce medical debt. Tell us about this, Senator Sushank.
Yeah, so I've talked a bit about medical debt and reducing medical costs and how important it is, and that's one of the things I hear a lot about when I'm out in the community, people who are having trouble getting the medication they need. And then also when somebody has some sort of, not always catastrophic, but just like an involved medical situation, they can end up with thousands of dollars of medical debt. And so this isn't law yet. It has to be passed out of the House and signed by the governor. And I don't know where they are on that. But it would create, we passed it out of the Senate last week, create the Hospital Financial Assistance Act, which would require hospitals to implement a financial assistance program for patients receiving care at the hospital. This would be, they would have patient eligibility based on objective metrics that are tied to federal poverty guidelines and include patients who owe the hospital one or more unpaid bills in a 12-month period that are more than the patient's annual, 30% of the patient's annual income, and provide for a 100% discount based on a sliding scale for a patient who is uninsured and whose annual income is at or below 350% of the federal poverty guidelines, which really, I'm not sure what that number is. It depends on your community, but it's not that much.
Wow.
So that's good. And the other thing is that we passed another bill called the Medical Debt Act, and it would make it so that debt collectors couldn't put medical debt on your credit report or in any way communicate about that to a consumer reporting agency, and they would have to let everybody know that they can't. I mean, like if you ever like don't pay your bill, the second you get it, oftentimes within a week you'll get another one where it says your credit report will be affected by this. Well, that would be a thing of the past. One exception for that, well, there's two exceptions, actually. One is that if it's a credit card bill, so you have to be kind of careful. If it's a credit card bill, like say you paid with your credit card and then couldn't pay your credit card, that doesn't count unless it's a specific healthcare credit card.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, if you're trying to get a mortgage of $850,000 or more for your home, then your medical debt could be reported in that instance. And I think the thought there is that if you can afford a $850,000 mortgage, you can afford to pay your medical bills. But we know that there are a lot of people in Michigan who have this crushing medical debt. Maybe they had pneumonia or surgery. And it's kind of crazy because if you have good insurance, that might have cost you a couple hundred dollars or less. And if you don't have good insurance, you can end up with just crazy huge bills, mm-hmm. and it can affect you for the rest of your life. We don't want that to be something that Michiganders have to face. So that's the impetus behind that. I hope that the House will pass it. It's actually pretty well supported. Only the Consumer Data Industry Association didn't like it. They literally are the credit reporting agencies.
Gotcha. Okay. But you said pretty well supported. Does that mean you would characterize that as bipartisan support out of the Senate then?
Well, yes. Actually, okay. Jonathan Lindsay, who also represents the Jackson County, he was he had a bill, and Senator Anthony, who represents the Lansing area, she had one bill in that, or she had two bills in that package. So it's absolutely bipartisan.
Okay. Now, you mentioned over to the House, and you're hoping they pick it up. I know this seemed like an issue last year. Are we seeing it early this year where things are coming over to the Senate from the House not being picked up, things going over to the House from the Senate not being picked up? Are we seeing that as being an issue early here in 2026?
It seemed like it calmed down a little bit, but what I need to do before I can truly answer that is go back and find out what are the numbers. I know we've been passing House bills into law,
okay. And
I'm not sure where they are on that. So I need to double check that, and okay. I can report back.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the use of drones for telecommunications towers. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is a Senate bill. It used to be a House bill. And right now, drones aren't really allowed to be used to inspect, communication towers. Mm-hmm. And so this bill just allows the state to use drones to inspect telecommunications towers and to support disaster recovery efforts. So this is, we're talking about privately owned towers.
Mm-hmm.
And the act that is being amended does allow inspection by drone if there's express consent from the owner of the facility, or if there's a warrant, or if there's an imminent threat to public health, safety, or property. This just expands it a little bit to make sure that it can be done just more regularly, because it's been shown that drones are effective and useful, and it makes a lot more sense than sending people out there.
Okay. All right. Talk about, if you could, downtown district for is it Harsin's Island?
Yeah.
What is this?
Sometimes we pass bills that are very specific, and this is one of them. Islands, we have a fair number of islands in Michigan, and they have a little different requirement. So a lot of times we have bills we need to pass for Mackinac Island to be able to do something because it has more state involvement than some of the other islands. Harsin's Island wanted a downtown, a tax increment financing district, so like a DDA, on the island so that they could support some of the businesses that are going, it feels very early this morning, so that they could support some of their island businesses. But they already had a DDA on the town, already had a DDA on the mainland, and so this allows them to have two DDAs in the same space that normally you can only have one DDA. So we heard some testimony that some of the businesses on the island are struggling, and they wanted to be able to band together and form a DDA so that they could support their businesses more effectively. Right.
Is this an attraction that I'm missing? Is this something I've honestly, Senator Schenck, and there might be listeners who are going to roll their eyes at this, I've never heard of. I had to look it up on the map to figure out where it was. I've never heard of Harsin's Island.
Yeah, so it's in the St. Clair River. And I grew up in Port Huron and then worked in St. Clair County for a while as an adult. And in that area, Harsin's Island is well known. It's small, but it's people live on it, and they have a small downtown. It's the kind of place where local people will drive their boats there to go out or spend the day, and people have cottages there. So if you're from Jackson County, you don't need to go to Harsin's Island because we have so many amazing lakes.
Yes, we do.
But if you live around there, Harsin's Island's pretty cool.
Okay. I've never been, but maybe we'll put that on the list someday for us to do.
Yeah. It's kind of neat. You're in the middle of this giant river.
Okay.
And Canada is not that far away.
There's people there who can see Canada from their house. Okay.
Yeah.
And well, we typically, if I remember correctly, it was this time last year where we ramped up conversations about tipped wages and whatnot and started conversations about the budget process. Where are we right now? And because the a few weeks ago, Governor made her budgetary suggestions. So where are we with the Senate and what they want to do with the budget this year?
This past week, we had a lot of committee meetings and heard testimony about bills, but also other committees heard testimony about the budget. So I held a committee hearing where we heard about the State Appellate Defender's Office and the appellate courts and then the Judicial Tenure Commission and what they'd done with the money that they were allocated in previous budgets and then what they needed for this year. I also heard testimony on the EGLE budget. That's the Environmental Regulation Agency. On the judiciary budget, the biggest issue was there was a court case that required resentencing for people who had been given life sentences when they were 19 to 21. They're two different cases. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to take some more resources, and the State Appellate Defender's Office told us how they would like to go more quickly and haven't been able to because of the limited resources that they have. And then on Eagle's side, you know, every budget pretty much is being cut, at least a little bit. And we heard from Eagle about lead pipe replacement, and then also how they've been getting permits passed more quickly when companies are coming in and asking for permits to do things that affect the environment.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So
there'll be more.
There'll be more. It'll be a process, but I have to imagine with it being an election year, I could be wrong. I've been wrong several times before. I do not have a perfect batting average here, but I have to imagine that we'll have the budget buttoned up on time this year with it being in a campaign year in Lansing.
I hope so. I this is the thing. We have a task that we need to complete. We're supposed to be completing it by July 1, and it has to get done. So last year it wasn't done until after October, but there's no good reason for it not to be able to be done by July 1. So I've got my schedule planned out to make sure that happens, and I know all the other senators do too. I heard that the House is committed to getting it done on time. If we're all committed to getting it done on time, it ought to be done on time.
All right. Senator Sue Schenck joining us here this morning on AM Jackson. Anything left on the table, Senator Schenck, that we didn't talk about this morning?
Well, March is reading month, so I've been out reading to kids in schools, which is super fun and also important because then we can talk about other stuff, whatever kids are interested in. Mm-hmm. But they really are interested in government. And it's a good reminder for grown-ups also to just read a book. I've been working my way through a book, read a little bit before I go to bed each night, and it's been super fun.
Huh, cool. All right. Well, so when you're reading to kids in school, what's your go-to book?
I don't have one.
Okay.
I got a couple books. One I've been reading called I Am Courage. I actually gave away to a little girl with anxiety. But that was one that I need to go get another one of because it's really a good reminder for us, too, that even when we feel afraid, we can do hard things. And it's the doing that's the brave part, not the feelings of fear. But in general, a lot of times there's the teachers will hand me a book and say, could you read this?
Okay. Well, and it's also age appropriate, but you can't go wrong with Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Can't go wrong with it. You can't. So,
yeah. So maybe I'll grab that one too.
All right. Senator Sue Schenck, thank you for the opportunity to talk this morning, and we look forward to conversations next week.
Thank you. Hope you have a great day and a great week.
You as well. Thank you so much. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 F. You know where the wild things are. You can't go wrong with where the wild things are. News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 8:35, 25 minutes now in front of 9 o'clock, and it is a pleasure to have Gary Beck and Alan Beck Seidel in the studio with us here today as we're
good
talking.
Good morning.
Beck's Flowers. Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys staying? You just go ahead and pull that wherever you need to, nice and close. Exactly. Okay. There you go. Yes, yes, yeah. Gary, you're kind of the old pro. You've been in...
I've been here for, I think, at least 3 or 4, it seems like forever, with Steve, with Captain Steve.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do a show every first Tuesday of every month on gardening tips for that month, for
right
that
down.
Coming up month. And what's coming up at Beck's Flowers each month to keep everybody enthused about coming over to the store.
Right. Yeah.
And so today we're here, Alan and I are here to promote the upcoming Easter and Mother's Day and bedding plants. And
what's new in the flower shop.
And what's new in the flower shop.
Okay. Well, where do we want to start, Alan? Do we want to start thinking spring, or do we want to see talk about what's new in the flower shop?
Easter.
Let's talk Easter.
Easter.
Easter and spring kind of go a little bit hand in hand, right?
Beginning of spring.
Yeah.
I know with the flower shop, we're getting our new product in. If you're thinking of that old classic goose that you would see on your grandma's porch.
And with the outfits? Clothes,
yes.
Okay.
So that is one of our new products that are coming in. My sister found a really good goose and some clothes. So we're trying to bring because a lot of people have been asking us for it. So that's one of our new products.
I know that like hit its peak a while back, and it sounds like it's kind of coming back again.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
We're pretty excited.
Yeah.
And then other than we have our sympathy stones, spinners, the outdoor decorations, new pottery for your plants for the indoor greenhouse.
Okay.
And then with other than the fresh cut, we get it daily in the flower shop. So if you're ever just wanting just a pick-me-up, we have cut tulips, your standard roses, carnations.
Right.
We can do just a bright assorted arrangement. And then for Easter, you know, we are wanting to promote centerpieces for your table because that seems like kind of a lost tradition for Easter is having like a centerpiece. And then other than we'll have our Easter lilies and potted hyacinths and potted tulips that churches usually use for decorations.
Okay.
So we got that going on.
Should people order in advance for like the centerpieces? Do you have stuff already kind of pre-made for them to come in and pick out?
We will have a few things already made up in the front cooler, but if you have specifics, definitely give us a call ahead, and we can definitely have that made up for you. Or if we are available, we will make things on the spot, but that's only if we don't have several orders ahead of them. But we do our best to accommodate last minute orders too. So that's what we're bright colors and spring.
Now I know I'm going to ask you about the Easter lilies. I think back to the holiday season, and if I have clients, friends, family, whatever that I want to get poinsettias for, I'm calling ahead to make that order. Is it the same thing when it comes to the Easter lilies? Yes. Call ahead, make that order.
Yep.
Call ahead.
Okay.
Because it's easier because
you hand wrap them.
You come in and it's already ready to go.
Right.
You pay for it and you walk out the door.
Right.
If you walk in and it says, hey, I need this, this, and this, we have to put it together.
Right.
So you may have a 15, 20 minute, maybe a half hour waiting to get things around for you to get ready to go.
Okay.
And if it is last minute, it's last minute. We will get you all set.
Right.
But if you have a little bit of inkling, even a couple hours in advance, will give us time to get it set for you.
It makes the whole experience better because then you're not in a rush to get in and get out, and you guys can take your time to do it right. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's right. All right. What about springtime? So we talked about Easter. What about springtime? What are people looking forward to for springtime?
Right now, there seems to be in the last few years a surge in people putting up small greenhouses.
Okay.
And so we're starting to get people coming in, and our greenhouses are filling up with plants for the spring. I'm doing patio pots and hanging baskets, and we're getting things ready for where you'd come in and buy a tray of plants, begonias or petunias or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So with these people with their small greenhouses, they're coming in and buying the starts in the pots.
Yeah.
So they can finish them themselves
right
at home. So we're starting to get people doing that. We're starting to get people to looking, wandering around. We also have some ice cream tables and chairs. So if you have a friend that you want to hook up with or connect with and visit,
yeah,
bring your coffee and your donuts or a sandwich, and we'll set a table up for you in the greenhouse.
As long as you bring us some lunch, too.
Yeah. And that way you can sit down in the greenhouse and relax and have a nice conversation.
You won't say no, but I noted the sarcasm there. Yeah, I did. I picked up on it.
Yeah, yes.
So we always have offered that.
Yeah.
And so for people to come in and just to relax. And
yeah.
And if you have the opportunity and you can come in on a weekly basis, you can watch the same plants each week and watch the progression of growing them and how to maturity.
Okay.
And then watching the transition and the new pots coming in and the new plants that are growing. So, because we like to get you enthused by watching the plants grow. Mm-hmm. And then you can, when you come back to there, you already know you've watched that particular plant grow. So you can, that's the one I want to take home now.
Right.
And our rose bushes are in, our berry bushes are in, the strawberries are in. They're all growing and getting ready for the season. The hanging baskets are in, coming out long and getting into play.
Wildly popular for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a given. You get chocolates for Sweetest Day, you get hanging flower baskets for mom for Mother's Day.
Right.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. And that's what you got. And that's what we're attempting to do, all get these ready so when you come in Mother's Day, they're ready to go.
Right.
Also, what we offer is if you want to have a patio pot and mom's patio pot.
Okay.
And you're not sure about, and you want it in her special pot, bring the pot into us.
Okay.
And in her favorite colors.
And we'll make it up in her favorite colors.
Okay.
So we can, if you bring your pots in, your hanging baskets in, patio pots, flower boxes, as long as they're movable.
Okay.
And they're not so big that they're you can carry it when it's empty, but you can't carry it when it's full.
Right.
Of plants. But we do up, close to 200 pots of special orders for customers.
Okay.
And then I also do up a tremendous amount of extra ones for people to buy from there. And if you bring your baskets back, we will refill them for you.
Okay. So, Gary, I don't know flowers.
Okay.
I don't know flowers. So if I'm bringing in the pot for my wife or whatever, I said, I know what her favorite color is. I kind of know what it looks like. I'm sure you've seen this before. Can you help out?
Sure can.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all you got to do is tell me morning sun, afternoon sun, all day sun, or all day shade.
Okay.
And then I will put the appropriate plants in or suggest the appropriate plants if you still want to do your own thing.
Okay.
And if you can imagine the parking space.
Yeah.
And if you want to do your own thing, take your pot, tip it upside down, take your child's chalk and go around the outside of the pot.
Okay.
And then take your pot away, fill it full of soil right next to it. Then take that chalk circle or string circle, however you want to do it, and then take your plants and put your plants inside that circle.
Interesting. Okay.
And now you design your pot while they're still in the pots.
Okay.
In that circle.
Yeah.
And then you take and start from the left side of your circle and put it on the left side of your pot.
Okay.
And then build your plant across and empty that circle. Mm-hmm. And now you've designed your pots and you've only planted once.
Yeah.
You haven't dug it up and moved it around and damaged the root system. It.
Yeah.
So you can do, so that's one, that's how you do it to yourself.
Okay.
I've had customers watch me make pots and thought they were going to find some magic that I do some magic to it. And they just said, you're just sticking the plants in the pot. I says, I've been doing this for 50 years. I just automatically put them in and away we go. but it's something we've enjoyed. We've been here in Jackson for 80 years. Right. My grandparents started it on Valentine's Day in 1946. And we've gradually grown over the years by expanding to the greenhouses. We've had some tragedies with snow damage.
Right.
And we've had our big fire in 2002 and remodeled and not energized ourselves, but
rejuvenated
the business,
invigorated, and
to what we have now.
Did you always want to do this, Gary, or did this? You knew this was going to be
this. I knew this was going to be. But here's the ironic part.
Uh-huh.
When I was 4 and 5 and 6 years old, the business was there. My dad went to college at JCC.
Yeah.
Worked at Macklin at night, and during the day worked at the flower shop with his dad.
Yeah.
I never saw my dad. The only way I could see my dad was to go over during the day and work next to him.
Okay.
So that made a connection between my dad and I, but also the connection between me and the dirt.
Yeah.
This is the only job I've ever had. I'll be 74 in May. And I mean, I was a busboy at Arbor Hills Country Club, but that was the only other job I've ever had.
Okay. Ellen, what about you?
I didn't know what I was going to do, but I think I ended up knowing that I was going to be alongside my mom and dad at the flower shop just because, again, just like my dad iterated with his father, that, you know, to be able to spend time with your parents with a family business, that you have to work alongside them. And then obviously there is that passion that you gain from being in that environment. I've definitely geared towards more of the flower shop because I do have an art degree, because I did get away for 3 years so I can go to college. But I mean, I came back with that art knowledge, and that kind of helps bring my creativity into the fresh cut flowers.
All right. Now, while I have Gary and Ellen here from Beck's Flower, I'm going to ask a personal question here. For my own benefit, so I hope you don't mind.
Okay,
we have a berm that's out in our front yard, and we put potted stuff out there. We've got hostas that we try to grow out there, but the deer and the rabbits love them.
Yes.
So what do we do? How can we have color from spring, summer, fall out in that berm area?
I'm going to be
full sun.
I'm trying not to be too sarcastic.
Uh-huh.
If you have a really bad problem, artificial.
Okay. No, it is a
ongoing problem.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 60s and 70s, we never had deer problem because we didn't have the deer population.
Right.
But as the community's grown, the limit of hunters being able to hunt couldn't.
Yeah.
So there's many areas that you're not allowed to hunt, so the deer thrive.
Okay.
There are deer repellents. There are deer. There's Irish Spring, Ivory soap, very perfumey soap will deter them for a small area, but they'll get used to it.
Oh.
Deer are very, very adaptable. If you farmers have put microphones out there, and when they see deer out in their crops, they hit a button and it's gunshots. Or they hit another one, and it's just like cannon fire.
Okay.
Something to scare them away. But they'll get used to it if there's none of their companions being fallen to the ground.
Gotcha. All right. Interesting.
They get used to it. So the farmers have gone to, in some cases, if you have a dog and you did the underground fencing in your yard – and let your dog loose, the dog will keep them out of that area because they're going to be loose, but the underground fencing keeps them.
Keeps the dog safe. Yeah.
Keeps them in the yard.
Okay.
But there are chemicals to do there, but you have to constantly add more chemical because as the plants grow, the chemical will cover that plant. But once the new growth comes, that chemical
won't be on them. Okay.
Won't be on there. So they're going to eat the tender stuff.
Okay.
And
interesting.
And you can get plants that are deer resistant.
Yeah.
But the word resistant doesn't mean that it's uneatable. It's just that they'll not go toward it. But
I forget what it was last year that my wife found. It was they were yellow and orange and they were pointy leaves. I liked them. So I like orange. Yeah. But I forget.
boy, what was that she found? I forget. Yeah. All right. Anyway, so deer resistant stuff.
And there's chemicals right. out there, but you got to constantly keep reapplying it.
Gotcha.
Okay. Outside of putting an 8-foot high fence around your yard.
I don't want to do that. Yeah. I don't want to wreck the scenery.
Yeah.
Right?
But it is, if you have deer-resistant plants and six deer walk in your yard, the first one will come up to the plant and eat it and don't like it and will go on, but it doesn't turn around to the other five and says, hey, this doesn't taste good, so let's leave it be. Each one of them have to...
They all have to try the buffet. Yeah. All right. Very good. So we talked about Easter. We talked a little bit about Mother's Day, spring, and some of the new products. Is there anything else left untouched as we have Gary and Ellen in the studio with us?
If you're going to start your own vegetables, I would say around the 1st of April.
Okay.
Start getting there on your windowsills. Come in. We can get you the soil. I can give you hints on how to be successful.
Right.
We are...
Ellen. I'm trying to incorporate do like YouTube videos of my dad talking about gardening.
Yeah.
So right now I think if you just look up Beck's Flower Shop and Gardens, I think I have it right.
Okay.
trying to get involved in doing the social media a little bit more.
Right.
So I uploaded a couple of videos of my dad talking about, one was about patio pots and, two of them. I had to do part one, part two, because my dad talked awful lot. So it was like 10 minutes and 11 minutes.
I don't know where she gets that from.
So I have it also, I think if you get on our Facebook page, I have them linked on there.
Okay.
So to get to the YouTube video.
Right. Okay.
So I'm going to try to do that a little bit better.
So look for
my dad's information. But.
Well, that's important too, because it's you're able to address it specifically for our area.
Right.
If you're watching a YouTube video from somebody in the southern part of the country, it's not going to be the same.
Right. And that's the big problem I have, because most of them, I keep impressing upon people that I'm in southern Michigan.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole different area than northern Michigan.
Yep.
Or even southern Ohio. So I try to teach what the people in this area are going to experience. I did one on patio pots. I'm going to try to expand upon that and then do hanging baskets and then try to work with flower beds and doing vegetable gardens in how to set it up to give it the best chance of survival.
Okay.
With the lack of pollinators like honeybees.
Yeah.
So it'd help for you to be successful instead of growing all your plants and get very little produce because they're not getting pollinated, because all things are having to be pollinated. I've also had the opportunity. It's going to be an interesting there. My grandson got me volunteered at Northwest Middle School.
Uh-huh.
And we haven't set the date up in April, but I'm going to be teaching gardening.
Oh, cool.
And starting plants for a whole day for the 7th grade science class.
That would make great social media content.
So too. I am trying to I have to get myself organized, because I've only got limited time.
I know you're a busy guy. Yeah. You're a busy 45 guy.
45 minutes and you're doing like what, 5 classes?
I'm doing something like that.
Gary and Ellen in the studio with us, Beck's Flower Shop, Lansing Avenue. And if people want to get a hold of you, website, social media, how do they do that?
Old-fashioned telephone,
784-8571. Okay.
If you want to drive to us, it's 2322 Lansing Avenue in Jackson.
Yeah.
And it's the big yellow building with huge circle
windows.
You can't miss it once you get there.
If you've been in Jackson for a year, you know where Beck's Flower Shop is.
We're still amazed at how many people, especially in the south part of town, don't know that we're at the north side of town.
Well, that's why you're here. We're going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Thanks for being here this morning. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
You're listening to AM Jackson on Newstalk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's Newstalk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
9:35, 25 minutes in front of 10 o'clock, and Stephanie Riggs in the studio with us, Cascades Humane Society. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to see you. You're all nice and brand compliant today.
It's windy and chilly, so sweatshirt weather it is.
Yeah. Well, it's very good. So how are things at
Things
Cascades.
Are good. Yeah, awesome over there. We've got animals coming in and out, and sick ones getting healthy, and broken ones getting fixed, and it's awesome.
You know, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a little more detail, but all of what you just mentioned is fueled by fundraising.
1,000%.
And you have a big fundraiser. Was that coming up this weekend?
Yes, it is. Tell us about that. Well, it's kind of like a longer one. So by Thursday is the deadline to get registered. So that's why I'm here today, to get our last minute people. But you get registered at chspets.com.
And this
and
is for
this the... This is for a calendar.
Okay, the calendar.
So calendar contest. And you register, you make your site, and then you come in this weekend and you get a free photo session with a professional photographer.
Okay.
So for many years, we had Carrie Stottleman. She did an amazing job. And, you know, people need to move on, and they grow in life, and they get get busy. So this year, we have Jonathan Knight and his parents' own Knight Steakhouse.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And he has been a professional photographer for some time, doing some really big stuff.
Cool.
Like for University of Michigan and Michigan State and
a lot
of aerial shots. And but he's an amazing pet photographer.
Cool.
The pictures that he has sent us of all the pets that he's done. And he just happened upon us at Hollywood Feed in Ann Arbor one day and said, hey, you know, you guys ever want some help? And we're like, you know, need you coming up.
It's all about relationships.
It really is. It was very nice of him. And he believes in the cause. So that right there is the number one piece.
Right. And it just like it takes a special kind of person to work in animal welfare, it takes a special kind of photographer to be able to take pictures of cats and dogs.
Well, and have the patience to do it. Yeah.
Because it's almost, you need more patience than if you're taking pictures of toddlers.
Oh,
you know?
Correct. Yeah. A toddler you can communicate with some, but you know.
They might react to treats, I guess, but
Yeah, exactly. stay in that spot. And So, but the photographs are amazing.
Okay.
And then everyone that gets there, whether you win or not, you have access to these photographs, and we can get you prints for them. But you put your new photographs online where you had registered, and then everything else is done by votes.
Okay.
So every vote equals $1. So if you have friends that want to support the cause and they give anyways, a lot of them do, they can give their $20 to vote on your pet.
Okay.
So,
Whichever pets.
Whichever 12, pet brings in the most money.
The 12 pets bring in the most money get on the calendar.
Actually, it's 13 because we go through January.
Oh.
Yeah, so that way you have an extra. Yeah.
Okay. So to register for the photos, does it cost anything?
It does. No. There's like a $10 registration fee, so we can get you in there and get online because it's all done through our, you know, our sales force. And you get registered on there. You
that's
get your name in.
That's super affordable.
Yeah. It's very easy to do.
Yeah.
It's super easy. And that's like your first 10 votes. Uh-huh. So there you go. You're off and running.
So is it just for dogs, or can you do dogs, cats?
You can do dogs, cats. We've had ponies in there before.
Oh,
somebody's
cool.
brought a goat before. I think there's been a sheep in it.
Oh.
Someone had ferrets in one of the versions I saw years ago.
Cool.
So yeah, whatever pet you have that you can keep under control, that you know, a longhorn steer in our community room might not be a good thing. So the voting goes from April 5th through the 18th.
Okay.
So you've got from April 5th to the 18th to share it.
Right.
So, and of course, you know, all the social media platforms, TikTok, you know, Facebook, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Just
all of it.
Vote on my cute pet.
MySpace.
I think that's gone.
I'm kidding. All right. So to sign up, to get their picture taken of their pets, what's the best way to do that?
They go to chspets.com, and then you find the calendar promotion, and you click on it, and it'll take you right there. It'll say register.
Okay. And then they can go, once the voting's open, they go to the same spot?
They go to the same spot, and you can click on it, and you can vote. All the animals will be there. It'll also be on Facebook, and your people will send out their own link.
Right.
So if you're voting on your mom's dog, she'll have a link for you that she'll share in her Facebook post.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah,
all
it's
right,
pretty
so
easy.
That.
Yeah, it's, you know, a low maintenance one, but it's kind of fun.
Okay.
So we're hoping to get some officer K-9 dogs in there. We got a couple that had reached out and said, hey, can we do it too? We're
like,
absolutely. So we hope they follow through.
Have you ever seen one in the past? You're like, wow, that one, I'm surprised that one won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and that's it. It's not about beauty or if they had the cutest photo. It's about who loves the, you know, the cause and who's got the biggest following and who actually pushed it out the most.
I mean, that's it.
That's a lot of times what it is.
That's it for sure. Okay. Yep. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing those pictures. That's
absolutely
gonna be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting.
Okay. And you have coming up in May, because you got to start training. You have your run coming up, right?
We do. We have the Paws in the Park 5K, and then there's like a doggy run walk that goes with it. Like it follows the immediate runners.
Okay.
And that is May 30th.
Okay.
So
time to get training.
Time to get training, yeah.
Get off the couch. You know,
get off the couch, get running out there, and we'll have medals for the winners, and there'll be some vendors out there giving away some free stuff. And
have you started taking registration for that yet?
We have not, but we do have the site up and ready to go, so as soon as...
one thing at a time. Let's get through the pictures first.
As soon as we get done this one, that one will open.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want to confuse people.
Again, these types of things, individual donations, all of that kind of feeds in to what you do.
And, yeah, being a humane society, we are not federally funded, government funded at all, so we don't receive tax dollars. It is all funded by our community and any grants that we're able to secure, and then a lot of fundraising.
Right.
So generosity of the people in the community so we can keep the dogs and cats and whatever else needs a home.
What's the population like there? Are you guys full? Do
right
you have
now,
room? What's
we actually have some room right now.
Okay.
Kitties have been a popular adoption lately. So with that new cat room that we opened in July, we have two cat rooms now, a cat room and a cat suite. One's bigger than the other.
Okay.
And we've had that extra space. So we've been taking in more cats, but they've been leaving just as quickly as they get there.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So someone has a cat, a kitten to bring in.
We've been taking
how's that work?
Yeah, kittens.
They just kind of pop out of nowhere.
They
sometimes.
Do pop out of nowhere. We do have several kittens in foster right now because we've had people that the kittens popped out of nowhere.
I'm aware.
No mama to be found, so they're in foster being bottle fed.
Okay.
We have some with their mama that appeared at someone's door, so they're in foster because we don't keep mamas and babies in house. It's a really loud, stressful environment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then any that are 6-8 weeks old, we're taking in right now, and we get them spayed and neutered and vaccinated, microchipped. Nobody leaves our facility without being sterilized.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. So those who are looking to adopt then, what do you recommend? Just come in and look around?
Just come in and look around. You can get on our website again, chspets.com, and you can see the pictures, but it's not the same. It's fun going, and you know, we've got one. His name's... what's his name? Kris Kringle. He's diabetic. So if there's anybody that's, you know, diabetic themselves and comfortable with this, this cat has the most amazing personality.
Yeah.
But he needs a shot twice a day.
Okay.
So our staff is doing that. He lives in his own room, and it's got a glass window, and he literally greets everybody at it, kind of waves to him with his paw and taps on the window like, hey, I'm over here. So cool cat. Very cool cat.
Yeah. What's the dog population like? Got room?
We do have room.
Okay.
Yes, we do have room. We've had some really good adoptions lately. We, you know, don't get the cute fluffy ones all the time, but when they come in, they fly out the door.
For sure.
We've got some really neat ones over there right now. We've got a Layla and a Layla 2.0 is what we call her because people name them. We don't change their names.
What's Layla?
Layla is a black and white with fluffy ears, mixed. Looks like she's got a little Aussie and maybe a little cattle dog in her.
Okay.
And she loves to chase things.
A lot of energy.
Yeah. We have a video I think we put up of her chasing something in a circle, and she's literally coming off the ground on all fours. And
oh, wow.
But and then when she's done, she cuddles up in your lap and chills out. It's I'm like, okay, that's really, it's neat. Yeah. And we had one, usually one ends up in my office every week.
Of course.
Because they can't handle the barking back there.
Mm-hmm.
So last week it was Bonnie.
Yeah, some can handle it better than others.
Bonnie's the speckled, freckled face, really cute gal. And she got adopted.
Good.
So she got adopted Friday, 45 minutes after I left. So it was really weird. It was like, oh, there goes my Bonnie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. And we've had a Martini was her name.
Okay.
She was in my office and very scared dog came from Detroit out of Bark Nation.
Okay.
And she ended up with someone I knew. Yeah. So that's really fun. I get to get pictures of her often and hear how she's doing. And and she's with two other dogs that came from our shelter.
Gotcha. Stephanie Riggs from the Cascades Humane Society in the studio with us. You came from a variety of different backgrounds.
I have,
And it feels like, just from this conversation, we've had a few over the last couple of years.
We have,
It just feels like this conversation, you've really found your comfort spot. You kind of like, you're really... You know, you're really taken to the
top. I absolutely have, and this is the fun part. You know, this is the end of my career. You know, we're getting older, and this is a fun one to go out with. Uh-huh. You know, I don't do anything that I don't feel passionate about. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to do it, you're going to get 1,000%. So, and I have to believe in it. So there's certain positions that I've been offered that I haven't taken because I'm not really sure I believed in the way they, you know, like certain types of care, and it might be harder to do. So, you know, I really believed in the items that I market. So YMCA, you know, 0 to 100, what a mission.
Yeah.
You know, amazing mission. So that one was really easy to get invested in. And animals, of course.
Yeah.
You know, that one's
easy. It's not
easy.
It's not easy.
No, it's a hard job. It is, because you watch people sad when they bring in their animals. They don't want to surrender them.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's housing issues.
Right.
Whether it's divorce, domestic violence, they can't pay their rent, being evicted. Evictions are up in Jackson right now.
Yeah.
So a lot of animals are coming to us in December, January, and February. A lot of that was homelessness.
Yeah.
So animals, they're getting a divorce, or they got with a new spouse or a significant other, and their animals didn't mesh.
Yeah.
So
my hardest part was dealing with the abuse and neglect.
Yeah, that is very
hard. That was the hardest part.
When I reach to pet a doggy, I hate that it like smashes itself to the floor and tries to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So something happened.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I always loved animals. We had farms growing up.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an easy fit and easy mission to get behind.
Right. Right. So let's talk about the volunteers, because you're always looking for those
looking
to
for
come
volunteers.
In and volunteer, but also to foster.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Fosters are needed. We had a lady reach out to us. Her dog she wanted to surrender, she found out was pregnant. And then it had puppies like 3 days later.
Oh, wow.
Well, we couldn't take her pregnant. We also can't take her with puppies. But we have no one that wants to foster a dog and 7 or 8 babies.
Right.
So that's a hard thing to do.
It's a little bit of work.
Yeah. You got to have some space. You got to have commitment. You know, because you got 8 weeks to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a long time in the significance of things. But within the last several weeks of that, you got 8 little bodies running around.
But don't let dollars and cents be a reason why you say no
Absolutely
to fostering.
Not. No.
Yeah, there's going to be a commitment. You're going to have some time. Right?
Time and effort.
Yeah. But you guys take care of the backbone of it.
We do. Yeah, you get all the dog food. You get the bedding. You get the playpen that is needed to corral them.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to bring them in for their shots when it's ready. And the doc will look at them if there's somebody that doesn't look like they're feeling well. All the vetting is taken care of by our in-house veterinarian.
Yeah. When I had new fosters, I would start them off with mama cats.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit easier. A little bit easier than dogs. They'd work their way up to it, but you have opportunity for...
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we had a feline foster, and she actually did take a pregnant dog at one point, and when it started having babies, it was a little bit different than
it's
the
a
cat.
Bit. Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not really sure what to do with this. Luckily, I think it only had 2 or 3.
Okay.
It's a small dog.
Right.
But it's, you know, it was good that she'd started with cats.
Yeah. So you're looking for fosters for
cats? We're always looking for fosters.
Across the board, really.
Cats, dogs. Right now we have a hospice kitty in foster. We she's not actively passing, but she's not, we know she has anemia. So, but she's healthy, she's eating, she wants love. And so she's hanging out with someone at their house instead of in a cage.
Yeah. And again, you take care of all the...
care of all of it. She's like, I got to go get this. I got to go get that. And I'm like, no, you don't. You just got to come here and get her.
Right.
You can take everything else home with you.
It's great when fosters do kind of add some of that stuff to it, but you guys got the man. You got it. You got the medications. You got all that stuff. Okay.
Well, and this one worked out great because this is a retired lady, older, spends a lot of time at home, and she was lonely.
Okay.
So we just paired this individual with this cat, and they needed each other.
How does someone, if they're interested,
Should they volunteer first, then foster? How does that work?
No, they don't have to. Okay. Absolutely not. Foster will check their veterinary records, you know, find out if they have animals in the home or if they've had animals in the past and where they live. You know, your landlord may not be open to you having a bunch of animals there. So, you know, we do all the vetting of it. And then if they're a good fit, then we keep their information and then give them a call and they can say no. If they're like headed out to spring break or something, or if they're at home doing nothing, a lot of them will say yes.
All right, volunteer opportunities at the shelter.
Always, can return bottles. We've got people that drop those off all the time. You can do something as simple as pushing a mop through the floors because that always. You can walk dogs. You can sit in a room and socialize a kitty cat. And those types of things. Kittens come in a lot of times. They'll come in from somebody's shed, so they haven't been handled by humans a lot yet.
I'm aware. I'm aware.
And but they're kittens, so you can socialize them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So lots of things.
How's that process start? Is come and fill out
volunteer. An app? Yep. You fill out an application, volunteer app. They're online as well at chspets.com, and or you can come in and you can check out the pets there. You can have a conversation with Haley Golightly, our volunteer. Coordinator. Yeah. She's our community engagement coordinator, but she handles all the volunteerism.
Okay. And donations. Donations. Of course, monetary donations. Always take monetary
always
donations.
Always monetary. Recently, we had our pet food pantry, and it's the first Saturday of every month. Mm-hmm. It was started years ago, and apparently volunteers ran it, and we love it, and we love being able to do it. But the donations were getting slim, and this time around, we only had like 10 or 15 bags of stuff.
Okay.
So for the first time in years, we canceled pet food pantry in March. So if anyone has cat food, you're out shopping, you grab a bag of cat food, a case of canned cat food, whatever, that's the type of stuff we give out to the community.
Gotcha.
And we have about, was up to almost 100 people in line in February for this. The need is growing.
Okay.
You can't make your social security check or something like that last until the end of the month. Those are the types of people that we'll have, and they'll get something to get them by.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap up where we started. You have the calendar coming up this weekend. Thursday's the cutoff.
Thursday's cutoff. You can get registered between now and Thursday. Once you're registered, then you'll get sent a link and you'll get to pick your time for your photo shoot, which is this weekend. So it'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or be Friday, Saturday, depending on how many photographs we have to take.
All right. Very good. As always, Stephanie, a pleasure. It's fun
talking
with you.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Stephanie from the Cascades Humane Society. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.